put Mark Sadness in the text. I thought it was hilarious. I thought you were going, because somebody sent an email like, this is the second Friday in a row.
Yeah, I think that was Doc. I think that's Doc that sent that email, and he was hot. I was like, man, but you know what though, dog? I'll be hot too if I woke up at 5 a.m. Like, that's the cost of that 5 o'clock run they don't talk about, which is when them niggas be lying, you get your ass up at 4 something. You get your ass up at 4 something, drive all the way over there, and then don't nobody show up, bruh. You know how hot I would be?
After they all said, we gonna be there?
Right. I ain't forced y'all niggas to lie to me. You know, I went up there to ball Thursday. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, oh yeah, I had my whole week planned out. Like, oh, I'll ball on Thursday, da da da. Man, I got my ass up there, bruh. Gym closed for some type of renovation. Like, we fixing the divider, fixing the rims, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fuck. Turned around, went home, man. Came home, cooked lunch for Karen, and just chilled or whatever.
I'm surprised they didn't, because I know they'll post a little sign on the window right before you walk in. But did they have, like, any notice? Like,
A notice. I just forgot.
Oh, okay.
Like, they had the notice up there for, like, a week. I don't know how I blanked on that shit. I think it's because I didn't play Wednesday. So, like, I seen it Tuesday. And then, they'll be closed Thursday. And I just didn't put it didn't get real in my mind until I was up there at the damn door again. Like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's... Nah, that can throw your whole chi off when you show up.
Right.
And nobody's there. Especially after they promised to be there, though.
Right.
Like, when they be like, no, I'm in. Like, they
started the whole email list. They started the whole email list for that purpose of them, you know, not have enough. I read that shit this morning. I was laughing. I mean, I shouldn't be laughing because, you know, it sucks when that happens, but it was
just funny.
Damn.
Look, last week it automatically muted the mic, This week it won't stay muted.
I think it's your computer. But it was just funny when they went through all that shit. To get some people there, and this is actually like the second Friday in a row they said this happened.
So I know
it's really about to be it's about to be even less people next Friday probably.
They ain't doing shit. I mean, they should get up and go.
That's what I don't understand. How do you get 20 and then just get 6? Like, I don't understand the math of all those people at the same time decided, like, not even 10, not even half of them people was like, well, I'm gonna play.
And especially when we've seen it get up to 30.
Right.
And I know just a few months ago, right before the holiday, they was hitting 25,
mm-hmm.
like 27, you know what I'm saying?
And I wonder if it's because of March Madness, maybe. I don't know, because last week at the Morrison Y, we didn't get enough. Oh, y'all, I plotted my revenge on these niggas, and they did not show up. Me and Justin and Damon, this big dude, a little kid, can't remember who else was in it, some white dude, we all ended up playing 21 for like 3 or 4 games and then going home. Oh, and Jimmy, Damon's friend. Damon friends with the strip club coupons. We played ball with them at 21. We just played 21 half court because we got up to like 8, but we didn't get 10. And I'm like, man, if Ray and Adam would have showed up, we would at least had 10. Like, it sucked, y'all. I really wanted revenge on them niggas, and none of them showed up. Like, it wasn't even just like one or two of them didn't show up. None of them showed up. So I was a waste of a morning. Like, I say a waste of a morning, but I actually got to hang out with my friends, make jokes, shoot 21. It was some exercise. It was fun. It was funny. But, you know, it's funny how, what they say, man plans and God's last. It's funny, right? I made all them plots on getting them niggas back and showed up with my boys, and then, well, with Damon, Justin was like 45 minutes late, so he wouldn't have been no help anyway in the plan, and we still didn't get to play them motherfuckers.
Man, you was on fire Saturday too, and talking the most shit. That's how I knew you was ready for revenge,
man.
Because Rod took it out on everybody else though. That was dumb. Man, he was like, "Get your ass out my face, you broke ass son of a bitch, and your mama breath stank. It smelled like the sewer." I was like, "I mean, good morning to you too." I mean, damn.
I was so mad, man. I came ready to. I was ready for revenge. What's funny is I didn't even feel like I didn't even shoot that well. I never even tied my shoes. I just was like waiting, hoping they'll come in. Like I was still reserving energy. The whole, like, we played like 4 games of 21. I still was reserving energy. Like, nah, they might come in. So I'm gonna take it. Like, y'all got it.
Yo, that big dude though.
Yo, he was nice.
Now see, that's how Murph tricked me that first day I saw Murph. Mm. And then you saw what happened then.
But that big dude was tall as fuck. He just seemed like he played ball like a long time ago.
Yep.
And then just like let himself go or something, maybe got injured or something and put on some weight. So you would think like, oh yeah, this dude can't play no ball, but he knew how to use that weight, boy. Like he even did me a few times. Like he'll bump me off with that weight, be like, yep, easy bank.
It wasn't the size. It was the fact that he stayed consistent so effortlessly.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, he can, it looked
see,
like it
so
effortlessly.
To me, the reason I bring up the size is because it's a difference between being big and know how to use being big.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Murph is big, but he don't know how to use it. Like, he's just big. That dude was, he was using it. Like, he'll be like, oh, shoulder lean. So you can't block it. And then I'm just going up real easy with the offhand. And I mean, he was killing with that shit. Like,
light work.
And he had a J.
And then he went back and was like, oh, y'all want these threes too? I got you. And then he was like 6'7" easy.
Yo, I had to play real defense on him more than a few times. Like, I didn't want to go out there because I was like, I'm going to have to work. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't like to go out there in 21 and just stand next to the nigga and let him shoot over you. Mm-hmm. And he was the type that would hit that shot. So, you know, like, some people you can kind of clown with them and then they'll come out there and you be like, ah, like, when you came out on me, I'll just be like, ah, I'm just gonna end up throwing up some bullshit cause, you either gonna foul me or I'm gonna end up making a joke or something. Like, you know what I'm saying? But with him, he was taking it serious. Like, it was no, like, jokes to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you came out there, I still got my shoes untied. So I'm like, I'm not gonna hit no crossovers. I gotta figure a way to like get this nigga off of me without, you know, without trying to make it too strenuous.
And these shoes don't have no grip. No, like one time I slid out there and I was like, oop, be careful now.
Yeah.
Remember, you got the wrong shoes on.
So I would come out there, bro. I'll play hard defense on him and that's the only time he'll miss. If I play like any level of bush, like if I play 50% defense, it was wet.
Yo, how much money does that Y have? Cause
they got 3 gyms.
They got 3 fucking gyms. Mm-hmm. They got a fucking little ice hockey rink on the outside. Cause they was, when we was leaving, it was a bunch of dudes showing up in their pads to play ice hockey outside.
You know what's crazy is the Harris Y got the same amount of money, if not more. It's the most richest Y in America. Still can't get no kids gym.
And they built a whole fucking new team center.
I thought it would at least be a gym in there. Take them little motherfuckers over there.
Nope.
Let them little motherfuckers hang out on the other court and then their parents get mad and make us stop playing.
Cause they got 2 whole tracks. Like right. They don't just got the 1 track like the other. That's what the problem is. Mm. They take one of them goddamn outdoor fields and put a gym right there. They got 2 outdoor fields now that I think about it. Just wasting the space.
The worst, bruh.
You can't even go down on that side. It's dangerous.
But yeah, I think I only got to play ball Tuesday this week. But it was fun. I played good. You know, it's just better. I just feel good being able to shoot again. Like, it's just, I'm not taking it for granted this time. Because when I was off last year, I was just like, I don't know when this is going to come back, but it should. But I think maybe getting hurt made me have to concentrate on my shot more or something. I don't know why it's going in now, but or just that break.
So that dude with the Wilson basketball that like was yellow like a tennis ball, he was like, they play on Sundays and during the week.
That's what he said. Evening. He said Sunday afternoon, which is when I normally do this podcast.
Yeah.
But I thought about going out there on a Sunday afternoon.
See, I thought you started at 10 on Sundays.
Well, it depends, right? When it's football, we were starting at 10 so we could be done by 1 and watch football. But we don't really watch football as religiously as we used to. You know, shout out to Cap, because I stand with Cap. since we don't really watch football religiously, it's like, well, we start when we feel like it. Like, we might start at... We might start at, like, 10. We might start at, you know, 1. We might start at 3 in the afternoon. Shit. You know, we might not do a show. So we just been taking Sunday afternoons. Like, we go out to get something to eat, or we'll, you know what I'm saying? Like, lazily start the show whenever we feel like it. So that's why I haven't even gone out there to play ball. I mean, even when I heard it was 1, I was like, I mean, I still could see myself being like, I'm gonna just keep doing the show.
I'm good. Yeah.
So I might spend some time with your girl.
I might start going out there on Sundays.
Let me know if you do. Like, that was the other thing. Nobody said they was going.
Well, so, the next day I knew I already had plans. Otherwise, I would have went. I just wanted y'all to know. And then this weekend, you know, I'm working. But next weekend, I'm thinking about going.
Well, yeah. Well, let me know when you make that for sure. And if so, then I'll be out there, man.
Especially since I hadn't committed to going during the week yet, like in the evenings, because I'd be looking at the week and I'd be like, I could go play ball, or I could go home and play this game. Yeah, ball game.
Right.
Yeah. One, I got to change clothes and do a bunch of other shit.
Welcome to my world.
To prepare. I've noticed.
We got to go to commercial real quick. We'll be right back, guys. Niggas only.
Took him 12 years to get the gig in this joint. Now he's been headlining for 25.
Okay, solid.
Maybe time for something new.
Man, sounding pretty good. Maybe tomorrow you come in and play something with us.
All right.
2, 3. So when he heard what he heard that night, he knew. For every king an heir, for every king a crown. Crown Royal. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to Niggas Only, guys. We're just talking about basketball. Justin, so what were you saying? You gonna go out there next Sunday? Think?
Yeah, potentially. I'll go out there next Sunday. Cause especially if I'm not going during the week, I realize I have a lot less laundry that I have to do when I'm not playing basketball.
Yeah,
cause it really is 3 outfits that day: the one you wore, what you played ball in, and then after you shower, what else? The other outfits you put back on.
Right.
That's 3 in one day. Nigga, you playing multiple times a week? Woo!
Yeah, I know. I do all the laundry around here, so I know about the load. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'll be like when I play ball, I'll be like, oh, well, that's another 2-3 days of laundry. You know, a couple more loads. When I don't play ball, it's lightweight on the house because, you know, that extra workout outfit isn't in there.
And I normally try to grab, like, a t-shirt that's already dirty to play in.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I don't. I'll be like, nah, I want a fresh shirt to play in, and then I'm throwing on another shirt on top of that when I get ready to leave. Because you got to have your dry shirt.
Right.
So, y'all don't understand because, you know, y'all, well, maybe not this group, but y'all know people like this. They show up to the gym musty. And you be like, good God, what did you get into last night?
Right.
And then they go on to the next stop. Cause after we played, Jimmy was like, we should go get, mimosas. And I was like, niggas, no, it's, I just playing ball.
Why would I do that?
I don't want to go get something to drink.
Hey, ma'am, Miss Lady Ma'am, can you come serve this table of stank niggas? Stank. No, I don't want to hang out with stanking dudes after I play basketball. Like, I would like to go home, clean up, like relax, and then go out somewhere with my wife, who does not smell like niggas that just finished playing basketball. Like, get up and go to a bar or something.
And we supposed that's what Damon want to do, is go get wings next Sunday. But we ain't never sitting up to see. That's what happened last time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, cool, we'll get up. And then I was like, make sure you send the text though.
Right.
So
he talking this Sunday or next Sunday?
The next.
Okay.
The next weekend.
Cool. Yeah, I might could do that. Yeah, this Sunday, I think I'm supposed to record with Bossy, and then Saturday, I'm supposed to record with Allegra and Mariano. So then, yeah, I think next weekend, I think I'm going out my brother's house Saturday, but Sunday, I should be good.
Because I told him, even if we do this weekend, just at 3:30. like this?
It depends, like I said, because I have to see what time Bossy want to record. I mean, I think I could do it, but we got to do This Is Us recaps for 2 weeks. So, but other than, yeah, I mean, shoot me a text or something, let me know, you know, if y'all decide something.
Yeah,
trying to get out the house more, do more shit, you know.
You said more. Yeah, like you stay
I mean, get out the house with people.
Okay.
You know, cause like I'm a loner by nature. Like, I can do a lot of shit by myself. I'm not really which is funny, you know what I'm saying? Cause Karen, like, does a lot of stuff with me, but, like, if she didn't want to come, it wouldn't change anything for me. Like, I like doing stuff by myself. I went to, Target. I saw MKG in line, like yesterday or the day before.
I would not recognize him in line.
I did not recognize him in line either. this brother that worked at Target was so hyped. He was like I had my headphones in. He walked by, he said something to me. He's like, I don't know. I looked at him like, is he talking to me? And then he stopped. He walked over to me. So I took my headphone out. I said, what's up, bro? He said, no, that is. I said, no. And I figured he was an NBA player because every time I run into an NBA player in public, they always on their phone. They always like dressed a certain way. He's not as tall as you would think. Like, he only seemed like he was about 6'4", 6'5".
You know, Marvin Williams didn't seem that tall.
Yeah.
At
so,
person either.
Yeah.
And I was shocked, but he was also with his daughter. I was like, I'm not about to, be like, can
see,
I?
See, yeah, I don't interrupt famous people either. Like, I'm not that kind of person, really. I'm not saying I don't understand, but it's not in me. You know what I'm saying? Cause I'm on some, like, if I see you minding your business, then right. why would I make it about me all of a sudden because I'm around?
He's not at the table signing autographs and
yeah. Hey man, can I get a picture? You know what I'm saying? Like, just for me personally, that's just not my way, right? And then it's weird being on the other side of that sometimes when somebody recognizes you, and it's like, I hope, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like me personally, I'm like, if they leave me alone, that's good. You know what I'm saying? They come over, that's cool too, but. Now I gotta worry if they're gonna be one of the people that push it too far or what, you know what I mean? So, and that's a tiny, tiny scale compared to an NBA player. So.
I didn't mind taking that photo with you as a fan the other day. I was like, you know what? You're a fan. I like you. I didn't mind taking that photo.
That was the only reason I thought about asking for a picture was to be like me with a fan. but I did. I was like, I'm not gonna do that.
So. For that shit. That might be the new wave.
I mean, that's what I'm on now. That's what I'm on.
That might be the new wave. Just, you know, you pictures with other celebrities to be like me with a fan.
Right, other celebrities. So, yeah, it was funny, though, because a dude came up to me and said, hey, man, it's my kid, Girl Chris. He said it just like that. He sounded like that cop in Atlanta where he's noticed Paperboy. He said, it's Michael Kill, Girl Chris. It's my kid, Girl Chris. I said, oh, word, cool, man. He was like, he looked at me like he wanted more from me, like I was supposed to be like, oh shit, what now? Like, it's 8 a.m. in Target.
Well, he also was hitting you with the, like, we both black, we should know who Michael Kidd
is. Yeah, I knew who he was, but like, dog, I didn't want to say it to him, but he's sorry. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it was Kimba. Like, if it was Kimba, I'd be like, oh, my nigga. Like, please don't leave, man. Please. I'm sorry. Okay, I do whatever it takes, brother. But nah, it was like MKG, I'm like, that's cool, you know what I'm saying? And so like, he dapped me up and then he walked away. I was about to put my headphone back in. This nigga came back again. He said, hey, MKG. And then my kid girl comes turn around like, hey, he's still on the phone. He's like, what's up, man? He was like, oh man, all right, what? And then walked off. I was like, that made that dude's day, bro.
It did.
MKG buying whatever the fuck he got from Target at 8 a.m. on a Thursday made that nigga's week, bro.
I mean, so on the one hand, MKG need to be a little more appreciative that somebody recognize him. But I mean, cause he been here for a few years, injured most of the time.
Yeah. But it's like that thing when you basketball player, I guarantee you, it's just like, bro, I just want to go. I'm going to Target at 8 o'clock on a Thursday because nobody be in there. Like, he just want to do something normal. Cause I'm sure that, you know, he get it, you know, there's areas for that. Like, if he want to be spotted, like, he go to the club, then everybody like, oh, it's MKG up in this bitch. You know what I mean? If he, what?
it made me think about, because I'm on like episode 2 or 3 of the Detroit mayor, Kwame.
Nigga, Kwame and Kilpatrick.
It made me think about him at the club.
Nigga, Kwame was getting it in. Kwame was getting it in, listen, homie.
Well, they started out with his daddy. Well, they briefly talked about Kwame, but then they pivoted to his dad real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the damn, I mean, you know.
Now hold on, we coming right back on Niggas Only, guys. Niggas Only, where the niggas is talking. We'll be right back. We got another commercial coming up real quick. We're gonna get into Kwame Kilpatrick after the break. Niggas Only.
You know why Louisiana food is the best food in the world?
Cause we're slow cooking.
You heard the man. Well, slow cooking's about to pay off fast with some deliciously good deals on my amazing Popeye's chicken. How good? I'm talking 4 pieces for only $5 good. You heard me. 4 for $5 good. Or 10 pieces and all this for $20 good. I'm talking, ooh, now I'm hungry good. Deals like this are why you don't just like Popeye's. You
love that chicken from Popeye's.
All right, we back, y'all. Niggas Only. Talking about Kwame Kilpatrick. So you started listening to Crime Time Season 2 on Spotify?
Yes. And I didn't start from the very, very beginning. I skipped right to the Kwame section because, you know, why I'm going to listen to all the other shit about the other mayors? I don't really care that much about Detroit.
It's, right.
that's the only people from the area that care that much. But they started with Kwame briefly. And then they pivoted like early in the episode.
I think the first episode was actually about old girl that found about the SAS unit that was killing black dudes on the street.
You saying the first episode?
The first episode, okay, of season 2. Yeah. Was a black woman who was a lab tech who they had SAS, which is crazy. Stats and SAS. I had never heard of these two acronyms. But apparently it was a police like response group for violent crimes in Detroit, like during the 60s and shit, and they would basically set up stings by pretending to be like marks on the street, like, and then when a black person would rob them, they would kill them and shit. And so she got the evidence to prove that they actually murdered a dude one night in cold blood. Like, it had nothing to do with nothing with the police. Like, they bumped cars or something on the highway, and one officer got out and basically killed him. Then they planted a fake knife on the dude and was like, yeah, he came at us with a knife and we killed him. And then she figured out through forensic evidence that he had a special type of cat with certain cat hairs. Like, it was a Siamese cat, like some rare cat that people don't have.
So somebody was actually doing their job in the lab.
A black woman. And she, like, and they tried to, like, intimidate her. They had to get her a security detail because that's how dirty the police was. They was threatening her, like, why you doing this to one of our own? And he had killed like a bunch of niggas by the end, like 6 or 7 people he had killed.
it was like having more than coffee,
bruh. It was like Dirty Harry, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how in the movies you be like, wait, it can't be a movie where a cop can kill 7 people and still be on the force. Like, we see how people react after one police shooting. It's like, you need PTSD training, get out of the streets, you gotta get on the desk duty.
Yep.
Like, this nigga, they was killing niggas routinely, bruh, and he never felt, and they was interviewing him as an old man at the same time they interviewed her as an old woman, and bruh, his interview was like, and like, yeah, I killed them niggas, and
I couldn't believe that these niggas was really on the mic just talking reckless about how they was living. But that's what I think I did notice, is like, they focused on Detroit, and I was like reading the synopsis each episode. Nigga, Detroit, that's a shady ass place. Why do y'all live there? Like,
crime town.
For what? Yeah. Like, leave immediately. The next time.
I mean, do you live there or do you get stuck there?
Nigga,
did you hear the.
Once you get 4 wheels and a. bus pass.
Cause you heard how
you stay in there.
Like, you heard how once they got the black mayor, like, white flight just kicked in. Like, imagine that, bro. Like, just immediate white flight off. Like, we get a black mayor for the first time ever, and then all the white people decide we leaving the city. Like, that will fuck up a city. Like, you can never really recover from that, you know. Not to mention car manufacturing jobs and all that stuff gone. Like, it's just, I mean, I think people got stuck there. I don't think it was a matter of like, oh, I'm sticking it out. this is fine. Like, nah, it was like, what the fuck I'm supposed to do?
Now, I remember watching this documentary one time. It's over 10 years ago. Talking about how, like, they left. And it's really no public transportation in the other areas around Detroit. And that's where a lot of the poor black people live. Even poorer than Detroit is in the little outside counties. And they have to walk like 10, 15 miles to get to a spot where they can catch the bus that will commute them on into Detroit. And then, like, that's, you know, another hour ride. And then to their minimum wage job to just go to another
and you
job.
And you got Kwame Kilpatrick presenting the first balanced budget ever or whatever. And the balanced budget cut all the fucking infrastructure. So now, you know what I'm saying, niggas ain't getting their garbage picked up.
Wife riding around in the Navigator, though.
Listen, $24,999
and
of Navigator.
I said, Navigator's that cheap up there?
You know, they paid some cash or something on the side.
Somebody said, look.
What we want to do is get this to a number we don't got reported to the city council for them to approve it.
And we're going to get it to this number one way or another. How you want to make this happen?
Right. But yeah, he cut a lot of infrastructure to balance the budget, but that also meant, you know, emergency services ain't coming to your house in 40 minutes. It's gonna take 40 minutes. That better not be too much of an emergency, you know what I mean? So I can't even imagine living there. Like, it's so, it sounded so like fucking scary. And then for this nigga to be bawling on him, bruh, like, I was just, the savage stupidity of it all, bruh, it was just, I just could not believe he was bought. Like,
nigga, they got a name for the mayor's house.
Yeah. What was the name?
Manev something? Yeah. I don't know.
But here's my thing.
The Manigault? I don't
know. Right. But my thing is this. Of all the cities to be balling on them, he had the biggest security force of all the mayors in America.
He already 6'4". He got niggas bigger than him, guarding him.
Oh, Manoogian.
Yeah, the Manoogian. Thanks, TPS.
Bruh, I did not understand. Like, cause I, when he got taken down, I didn't pay that much attention, to be honest. The only thing I knew was like, oh, he had an affair and he lied about it, but I still didn't know how he ended up in jail that long. You know what I'm saying? Which I was like, did he sell drugs? He killed somebody? Oh well. Ain't my city.
According to him, they always had it out for him.
He never had a chance. Yeah, he didn't do nothing wrong.
Targeting him.
Cause he's a black man. A dark skinned black man.
With an earring in his ear.
Yeah, a dark skinned black man. How you got to the point where he ran for re-election against the light skinned dude yet?
No, but that's right where I met when he was talking to his wife and he was like, I lost the ring at the skating rink.
Who the fuck take this ring off at the skating rink, bro?
And I had everybody looking for it and we couldn't find it. So right. And that was the start of like my marriage declining. It was not having that ring. It was like the power that kept us together.
He was already cheating. Hey, listen.
Yo, one last thing. His side chick though, nigga.
Yeah.
When she talked about the purchase of that Navigator. Mm-hmm. All the other stuff, she was like, you know, in hindsight, we could have did better. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought it was this thing
they
was going to be that.
Justin, they didn't know about the Freedom of Information Act.
They did, though.
You niggers. You niggers. What are you doing in this office?
But she called the purchase of the car stupid. She said, now that was just dumb.
Yeah.
All the things we did, that was the dumbest.
Right, right.
Cause it was for the wife.
So,
she had to go in extra hard cause it was for the wife. Bruh,
they did that shit to the penny underneath motherfucking $25,000. I said, y'all dumbasses don't know that's suspicious. They didn't know about freedom of information. The press called up, they're like, we need this information. We ain't giving y'all nothing. You have to, legally, under the Freedom of Information Act, we're submitting a request. Don't tell them shit.
They had two reporters on him. Bruh. And he was still out here doing shit knowing that he got two reporters following his every move.
Bruh, here's the thing. He was balling on them white people too. See, he just looked at it like, I'm the mayor of Black City. And so my black constituents will see me in a Navigator, see my wife in a Navigator, see me with my security detail and be like, there go the mayor. The mayor of blackness, you know, the choice.
I can be young and look what I can do too one day.
America's hip hop mayor. They gonna look up to me.
And a pelly pelly.
Right. Earring in my ear glistening on these bitches.
They act like I'm out here in dreads. I'm like,
they see
nigga,
me with,
they don't care about none
they
of that.
They see me in the club with my hoes and they judging. But that, like, he thought it was like some balling shit. But he didn't realize these white people was sitting out there mad as fuck, like, bruh, this nigga done cut all the services to the city.
You better get your ass to work. You know how we feel about you lazy, big lip Negroes?
Bruh, I don't even, like, that's the thing though. It's like, of his takedown, I would say, like, on a 100% scale, it's only like 20% racism.
Oh yeah, he was.
Like, he didn't even, like, when I, like, the way he set it up, of course, like every black man who goes down, he turned it into, it's a lynching.
When he said it, I was like, no, it's too early. Come on now.
Kwame ain't even got that bag yet.
Come on now. They just write negative. Like, you had a fight because you had strippers at the house. Right. Come on, man. Just let that go.
Yeah, right. They mad because I got an earring. He was like, the earring was stupid. You know, I should have took it out. My mom was right. I'm like, that's not why you went down, though. Nigga, you were doing stupid shit. It wasn't just you didn't have the right suits.
So I knew I was gonna like this, right? Because at first I was like, I don't care about like that nigga, right? But I knew I was gonna like it when he started out saying, and I went home, I got on my knees, and I said, if God tells me that I'm gonna be mayor, it's a sign. And I went home and got on my knees and opened up the Bible. It took me to Job 2013. Job, you know, this job, J-O-B. I knew it was a sign. It talked about being a king of the people and leading the people as a young man, that they elected him as a young man. The elders came to him. I said, so that's a sign. I went and told my wife. I was like, nigga, why? That's how I know you lying. Right now?
At two
in the morning after leaving the club. That's what you did.
I love that after they play that audio, 2 minutes later, they interview that black woman councilman. And she was not feeling his shit at all. She said, well, I knew he was a liar. Because who makes up a story like that? You looked in the Bible and the Bible told you to run for mayor? Like, it's just something out of a book, a movie. I was like, yes, because he said that bullshit story, and I was like, oh, he did all this shit.
Right?
It's really before they tell you about his crimes. What? I was like, whatever happened, whatever they say he did, he did it.
Once they said that story, I said, oh, really? He is a scammer and a legend.
I don't trust no nigga that tell me the Bible told them to do something. I don't trust none of them.
I was supposed to believe anything else you said.
I went home and got on my knees and said, God, just give me a sign. And I flipped my Bible open to a random passage on a random page, and it said exactly what I needed to do. I'm like, yeah, okay, nigga. He was gonna make any passage work. He was like, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Oh, no, not that page. I'm gonna be coveting. Let's see what else they got out here.
They had this motherfucking college professor teaching motherfucking politics,
mm-hmm.
right? Political science to a group of kids, you know, community college,
right.
Group of kids. And they like, bitch, we know Kwame. You want me to call him mayor?
Right.
Please. I just had a drink with him last night. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we was chopping it up about how they need to goddamn do something for the poor neighborhoods. They need to goddamn get some goddamn hood housing through mm-hmm. here, something to help us out. And he was like, he gonna make that happen. You want me to call him mayor? He Kwame to me. The moment name was Kwame, I'm gonna call him Kwame.
Niggas loved Kwame. The ones that loved him. You know what I'm saying? Cause yeah. Like, the thing that would kill me too was like, oh wait, you ain't got far enough.
You uppity Negroes.
How they played the testimony of them lying on the stand and shit?
Not yet. I don't want to
spoil certain stuff for you, so I'm gonna let you get to it on your own, but there's just certain stuff in here where they like break down, like they, when they talked about the affair, and they interview her a lot, cause you know, she got out of prison, was like, I'm gonna be transparent. I'm talking to everybody, you know, I still want to hear them phone calls from my show, but you know, she was like trying to handle it, you know, bro. When they talked to her about the affair versus him, it's like night and day, bro. Like, she was in love.
Well, he sound, I imagine him sounding like his daddy. When his daddy talked about the affairs of him cheating on his wife, it was like, I helped her with her campaign, but you know, it was the stress of it all. Mm-hmm. You know, it had a few things that happened. That
daddy just, ain't shit, then they ain't gonna be shit. You know, that's just what it is.
He said a couple things happened in the relationship just right. made it go south.
Couple of like, things. Well, it's like, what kind of things?
It's like, well, you know, I had a few affairs.
Right.
A few affairs? How many did five, six, a few, you know. He like, can't keep count.
Who keeps up with that kind of stuff? I mean, I wasn't counting. I was just fucking them.
I was like, this, oh, come on.
Yeah, but yeah, when they break down Kwame, you know, Kilpatrick versus like the mistress that, you know, the whole affair, like she worked with him and all that shit. Bro, she sounded like she was in love. Like she would have risked it all. Like if he would have came to her in the middle of this, like end of the campaign and been like, let's just leave our families. She sounded like she would have been like, let's do it.
Yep.
And when they talked to him about it, he just sound like, I mean, I was fucking a lot of women. I mean, I'm up in the club fucking bitches. I'm going to the DNC. I'm fucking bitches. I'm just fucking bitches. Okay.
Like, I mean, I fucked her in the office. I fucked Cheryl Ann right. in the office. I mean, which one of them did not fuck? Okay. It's the only reason I hired women.
And she clearly, like, you could tell from the way she talked about it, she had no idea. She thought it was them. She thought they were together. You know what I'm saying?
How did he keep it all so quiet? Cause,
how she worked on the campaign. How does she not know?
Because how do you tell somebody who's cheating with the mayor to be like, I'm not going to tell all my friends that I just fucked the mayor?
Oh, I guarantee people was talking. But, hey, here's the thing, though. I want to feel bad for Christine.
You can't, though.
But you can't feel bad for Christine.
You can't.
Because Christine, more than any of the other mistresses, was close to his wife.
Yep.
So she know what kind of nigga he is. She watch him play with his kids and hold his wife's hands at campaign events and know she gonna fuck him later. I have no sympathy for that.
Just sitting like, there getting moist.
You dummy. You complete dumbass to think right. this nigga love you.
She sitting there getting moist watching him be a family man. That's what I want from right. him. I want him to be the father of my kids.
But what kind of man? And she had kids and a family. What kind of fucking man?
Two girls too.
Like you ain't know this nigga was a monster? Like nothing, like he had to break it off with you. He had to come to you and be like, we need to break this off. Bruh. And you got on the stairs and lied for this dummy. This dummy who doesn't know how to keep his grifting a secret. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in this nigga's bank account. Not nan receipt.
I will say this. That one reporter did say, look, in the grand scheme of how much the city budget is, several billion. That little $25,000, $50,000 purchase, it really is a drop in the bucket.
Right.
But when you got a city where he firing people, that's somebody's job that she riding around in.
Bruh. He fired somebody because they start asking questions. I said, this how you get caught.
Nigga, he fired internal affairs
right.
director that had been there 20 years. The talking one some, motherfucker that's trying to keep people safe from the police.
We technically didn't fire him. We just moved his position. That's an appointment position. We still maintain we did not fire him. I'm like, nigga, you fired him. So you just go back down to the position you already had before that position. So I'm like, so that's a significant pay decrease and a demotion.
Right.
But it's not a firing. Get the fuck out of my face. This is why y'all deserve to lose.
He said this, I want to say that's when it stopped it, was right when he said, when they was questioning him about it, he said, I'm going to give my official statement
right.
about this. But they had already.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah. And y'all going to, I said, and that's why y'all lost in court. Cause you know them niggas already, they was looking into, y'all was letting them know it was more shit there by acting stupid.
Yep.
By the way, Miss Smart said Kwame sent somebody over in the airport one time to her, like a whole scout to see what was up with her. Damn, Kwame was out here.
I mean,
man.
He do got good taste though.
Yeah, I know. Hey,
I
look.
Will say he got.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I've met TVS at
right, right.
Get your building money fund together, fellas. Okay, because right. you're gonna need a motherfucking building right. to get a
that's,
woman.
That's
like.
How. That's how you get. That's how you get got. Okay. TPS, I had you out here half broke.
She is also from Detroit, so you know right. it's in her
game,
DNA.
Game recognized game. Game recognized game. And we're gonna recognize game. We come right back on niggas only. Niggas only, y'all. We kicking it real quick.
Hey neighbor, come on in. We're Bojangles and we've been making famous chicken and biscuits since 1977. What smells so good?
Ooh, fried chicken.
Famous chicken and biscuits. We don't just make famous chicken and biscuits. We make famous chicken and biscuits all day long. Chicken and biscuits. Swing by and taste what made us famous. We're Bojangles. It's nice to meet you.
Head to Bojangles to get our world-famous chicken made from scratch biscuits, fixins, and tea. Bojangles, it's bow time.
That's hey. Right, we back on Niggas Only. Niggas Only, the only TV show sponsored by multiple chicken advertisers.
I will say this, and at Bojangles, you can show up at 8 in the morning and be like, where is my motherfucking chicken wing? I want bone-in chicken, okay?
I've always done the opposite is I'll show up in the afternoon and be like, I would like an egg and cheese sandwich.
They got it.
I don't know how, but they got it. Everybody else had to cut shit off. They be like, we got you. They been doing breakfast all day. Like McDonald's talking about, we got breakfast all day. Bojangles like, nigga, we been had breakfast all day.
Ain't nobody going to y'all for breakfast?
That ain't shit. They won't cut one of these biscuits in half and throw a piece of chicken in there? Fuck out of here. They paying for it. But, yeah, man, that whole podcast series is great, man. I listened to another one called Shattered, the white boy Rick story.
So they slipped that in on me, and I was like,
See, I skipped it when it was in the, I skipped all the promotional shit, and I was like.
It's smart, though.
It's so smart, cause that's how you get, I mean, I did go back and listen, I just wanted to listen to it completely, I didn't want to listen to a chapter. But bruh, the gang, one of the gangs that was like the dude married to the mayor, mayor's niece, that's a big part of the white boy Rick Shattered thing. And so you get a little touch of it in this, bruh, the white boy Rick, you be like, yo, them was some dangerous ass killing ass niggas.
So they snuck like 2 or 3 minutes on. I was like, wait, this is not pivoting back to Kwame. I thought this was about to be about some kid that was like, yeah, and this kid saw everything.
Right.
Like every time we talked to the dad would look to the son and be like, well, what's this? So we realized the son was the one with all the information. I was like, then, and this one they let you know like it was about white boy Rick, and I was like, wait, this not the kid that brought down Kwame? I don't want to hear this, not right now.
Oh, I totally understand, but like I said, I went ahead and listened to that series. It was so fucking good.
It sounded good.
Yeah, in context of what the story they were telling, and yo, white boy Rick on some other shit too, because like. I thought he was just a dude that got a bad rep. He was like the youngest informant in United States history, and they used him, and afterwards he ended up in prison. Man, white boy Rick just couldn't stay out the game, bro. Like, after the mayor's niece, her husband went to jail, but partially because white boy Rick's informant on him, right? Dog, why did white boy Rick start fucking that girl, that woman?
Why not?
Like, white boy Rick was only like 16. And he was fucking a grown ass woman. By the way, she was fine as shit. But she was fucking a grown ass. He was fucking a grown ass woman. And he started moving weight. Like, weight. Like, yeah. Going to Miami and getting bricks weight.
Why not?
It's not no why not shit, nigga.
You got nothing else to do. I already got a day job. But it's my part time. My part time is selling drugs to the community.
My thing is, it's not just a why not. It's more like a, like, but why though? You know, it's like. Cause this thing was like, oh, I was informing, and then like, you know what I'm saying, they went to jail, and they never text me and told me to stop selling drugs, but they did stop calling me to get information, so I kept selling drugs. I'm like, okay, but then you kind of, like, he keep making stuff sound innocent, but it's like, but you also start moving weight, Nick, like,
yep.
You did, like, you weren't just hemmed up in the system,
and they gave him on the job training. They said, look, this is what we want you to do for us. Can you do it? It's like an internship.
Yo, he got shot too by one of them niggas who thought he was a snitch.
No,
like, he, I didn't know that he got shot, like,
and
he
they
got,
still kept informing,
bruh.
I'm out.
So because he went to the hospital, and when he got out, like, he didn't tell the police, he didn't know, the police didn't come, like, you know, try to, he like barely survived because like the dude wasn't even gonna call the ambulance to take her to the hospital. Like, the dude's girlfriend just happened to come in at that time and be like, what y'all do to Rick? You know what I'm saying? Call the ambulance. They said it was an accident, blah, blah. So since nothing happened with the police at that time, it went to like, oh, well, he a made man. Like, he definitely down with us because he could have went to the police. He could have, and so that's actually how he got the most information to put them niggas in jail.
You shot me. You know what? I no longer want to hang out with you niggas. I no longer want to associate with you niggas.
Sir, I am out of the drug game.
This
here's my resignation.
Right? All that shit, you can keep it. okay, I'm leaving. I'm done. If I see you, I'm going to assume we're shooting at each other because you shot me the last time.
Sir,
how am I supposed to think different?
I would like to submit a formal termination of contract. This is a 2-week notice that I am out of the drug game, effective immediately.
Per my last email.
Right. I don't CC all the drug game. Like, they also had them funny ass, they had them funny ass gang names too, though. It reminded me of that Rugrats gang in prison. Like, it was like the Good Time Kids. I was like, yo, the Good Time Kids was killing niggas. Like, whatever the name of it. Like, it was something like the Happy Boys.
So, question though, now, they call him White Boy Rick, and when I see it, it made, because I never saw the movie.
Right. I didn't either.
But it makes me think he the only white dude hanging out with a bunch of other people of color. Was he the only white dude? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to confirm that.
I mean, that's why I call him White Boy Rick. We do.
Well, that's why I wanted to confirm it.
Come to a basketball court first. White boy. That's the white boy. You got the white boy. So he was the white boy that hung out with them. But yeah, man, it was just wild though, because like, that story was so, like, it's just a little footnote in the Detroit crime town story. But then you listen to White Boy Rick, and it's like, yo, this nigga was moving major weight, fucking the baddest bitch in the drug game, fucked his homie's ex, like, wife, basically, like, because they didn't get divorced right away when he was in prison, so he was fucking, so it was like the streets was on him, like, this nigga is flagrant, and then they tried to kill him, like, more than once. Like, he just happened to get away from a, like a drive-by. They put a hit out on Rick.
What was Rick's level of education? Like, was he high really school, meant to do
not
this?
Not even graduate high school.
Like, it sounded like this is what he was really meant. This was his calling.
Yeah, I mean, listen to it. You'll see. I mean, well, see, that's the thing, though. He got caught so fast, I can't even say that.
I didn't say like, he was good
like,
at it.
Nah, because it's a but difference between... To me, when you say something is somebody's calling, it's like, oh, because they preternaturally good at it. Like when I played basketball with my cousin Anthony, and we went to the park, and he was the one that could hit on the double rims with a rubber ball, and the rest of us, as much basketball as we played, was not fucking with Anthony. It was like, yo, is my 12-year-old cousin leading all the people on this basketball court in points every game? Huh, maybe he's special. Rick wasn't that. Like, he wasn't a savant at this shit. You gotta consider, he was an informant, cause he already had got busted. Like, he was an informant from day one, basically.
I thought his dad was the one, cause the snippet don't show, like, it's just, like, yeah, the gotta, part why I stopped listening. Like, it started out with his dad, like, they was talking to his dad.
But I actually watched it, so, yeah, it's not that.
So, it's also dope how they tie all these stories about Detroit together.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, especially when they lead it back to, like, this early mayor. Like, they talked about him. I didn't listen to it, but I could tell, like, oh, so they talking about his dirt and how it leads to Kwame's dirt and, like, all these stories
and
connect.
What I like the most about these true crime podcasts is they actually examine the guilt of the party involved. Like, I tried watching the case for Adnan Syed on HBO, which is basically like Serial Part 2 or whatever, or Undisclosed Part 2. And I couldn't get through it, man, because it's so biasly about getting this man out of prison as if he did nothing wrong and it's impossible that he could have done this shit. And it's a bunch of like, let's talk to his friends, let's interview his high school classmates, let's talk to his family. And I'm like, you trying to like soften me against the dude, so I'll be like, well, he couldn't have done it, he says he didn't do it, and his family is like, he's a good boy. But and then they leave out all the stuff that incriminated him that was in like either Serial, of course they didn't want to discuss it in Undisclosed. And it's something done by like his family friend, his team of lawyers. So it's so biasly, it makes me biased against him because it's so blatantly like, we gonna just ignore all the shit. Like there was a letter that she wrote to break up with him, and at the bottom of the letter he wrote, I'm gonna kill. They don't talk about it in the documentary. Like, how can you not talk about it? That's part of the reason he in jail. You know, there's an eyewitness and it's this black kid, Jay. Like, they will actually, like, make it seem like he might have did it, because he said that he said that Adnan did it. I'm like, Jay got even less motive, less opportunity, less evidence that he did the shit. Like, if it's so cut and dry that Adnan did not do the shit, and somebody else did, then how come there's less evidence on them? How come there's no DNA, no fibers? No, like, there's just no evidence that puts anyone else at the scene other than this motherfucker, right? And so, like, I like that these, like, Shattered, you know, they got a season one, which is about these kids called Black Friday. It's these kids that went disappeared. They got disappeared by their father. Mm-hmm. And, I like that they examine his guilt. You know what I'm saying? I like that they examine, at least the preponderance that he may have done it. Cause
right.
they actually, in court of law, that dude has not been proven that he actually murdered his kids or anything like that. It's only proven that I think he got convicted of like entrapment or something, cause he did have the kids.
He did something.
Illegally.
They know he did something.
But they couldn't get him for murder cause they don't even know if the kids are dead. Like, they've never found the bodies. If the kids are alive, they've never been spotted.
And that's the thing out from watching any of these crime shows and documentaries. When they don't have nobody and you don't admit guilt.
Right.
Free me, my nigga. Free me.
So, for me, you know what I'm saying? And that's my thing with Adnan too, though. I can recognize he may have had a shit trial. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not so hardcore that I'm like, he did it and I don't care how they got him. They got him. I'm like, nah, he did it, in my opinion. I can't think of anyone else that had more of an opportunity or motive and less of a alibi, because he just stayed being like, I don't know where I was. I don't remember anything from that day. I don't remember. Everybody else like, yeah, I remember that day. We hung out at the house and he was over there. And he don't, I don't remember what happened. I smoked some weed. I'm like, okay, cool. So you smoked some weed, so that made your memory faulty. But everybody else smoked weed and they remember what happened that night. So what, like, what's up? You know what I mean? He the only one, no alibi, don't remember nothing. And it was so crazy because they interview him in the documentaries and they let his word stand. They don't do anything to contradict his word, to be like, well, people said he went to the library that day. They said he needed a ride from Hay in his car because he said his car was breaking down. He let Jay borrow his car and his phone. You know, like, it was just wild. Nigga, shit like
I turned around because I couldn't find my phone. Fell out my pocket. I forget with motherfucking khakis on, don't shit stay in your pocket.
Right. But you know, my whole point is, like, anything that that implicates him, they basically don't want to talk about. Anything that could possibly exonerate him, it's all kinds of suspicion and speculation. So, with Shattered and with the Crime Time, I just love how they be like, yeah, man, this is the evidence that he did the shit. This is what he says that he didn't do it. And this is what the witnesses say. And they just do it over and over and over. And I'm like, that's a better formula than just, he said it, so he innocent. Now let's go out and prove that he didn't do it. Like, fuck that shit.
Now, what I can't decide is if they being shady or not is when they play the beeps and be like, this is Beeps Correctional. This call what, yeah. Because they did on Atlanta Monster, and I was like, yeah, it's like, I'm tired of hearing the beeps. Can you just skip past that? Like, it's frustrating. It's taking.
I like the beeps because they like foreshadowing to let you know that this nigga's in prison. So as you going along, it's like, okay, each chapter is like a mystery because they telling you like a crime and something he did, but then they also telling you like, and he didn't get in serious trouble for this. And so it's like, so what the fuck was it? Because he in prison, right? Like,
yep.
So I actually liked it because it made me actually finish listening to it because. I kept thinking like, okay, so he did this and then he got, okay, so he probably in jail for blank.
See, well, the difference too is on this one, they don't announce like, and we're interviewing him from prison. And Atlanta Monster, they kept telling you like, yo, and we interview him from prison with this or during the phone call. So then I don't need to hit a beep because you keep saying it.
Mm.
You keep beeping it. Like, just pick one. Like, I don't.
Okay. All right. That's very.
It got to be.
Yeah, it didn't bother me.
I couldn't decide if they was trying to be shady or if it was like, oh, we doing this because we really want to emphasize, like, this is the struggle of interviewing him and currently, like,
yeah,
this is
his thoughts
while I'm in
prison. Well, I think with Atlanta Monster, that's I feel like you've been a little hard on it because the dude did talk about the struggle of what the process was to even talk to him and how fucked up it. Like, it was kind of examination too on just incarceration and the prison system and like how hard it is to even fight your case from inside. So I didn't feel, to me, it didn't feel like he was being like this criminal.
And I get trying to show authenticity of like, look, this is unedited.
Yeah.
This is what we have.
Well, not just that, but also, like I said, the constraints of the prison system of you only get to talk to these people for a short amount of time. How abruptly rude the system cuts you off. It's like you have 10 seconds basically, and then they got to say goodbye, you know. And I don't know, I like that, because more about our for-profit prison system really needs to be out there in the public for people to know. Like, if your loved one go there, man, it's hard to stay in contact. Like, and contact is one of the ways that it's one of the few mitigating factors from recidivism.
Oh, definitely. It's so having support while in prison.
Yeah, so like that's some real shit. So I like when they put it in there, because I think it's easy for us on the outside to be like, prison, you go to timeout and then you come back out and you get things better. It's like, nah, it's hard to even talk to a motherfucker for 20 minutes in prison. You know, you interviewing, like the Shattered, like the pressure in season one of them interviewing the other dude, not White Boy Rick, but the dude that get things with his kid. Mm-hmm. Bruh, like, because he was kind of a not willing participant at times, like he was very like, cause like he did that shit. And so his thing was like, I'm trying to always find out what y'all know and try to at the same time make myself look innocent, but at the same time make myself gloat in front of my wife that I did something with these kids and I won't tell her what. It's like he was a fucking mastermind, bro. And he would use that system to avoid the truth. Like he'll be like, beep, well, I can't call y'all back right now, I'm gonna just wait, and we'll talk another time or something. So, but when he thought he could get some information out of him, let me go inside real quick, I'm gonna call you back from the other phone. I'm like, yo, the game is so tricky with these fucking phones and shit, bro. I like that shit.
And I wonder if he making other people get off their call, like, nope, phone check, like it's...
Yeah, I don't know if he didn't... Well, see, that dude was in isolation. So it didn't even sound like he was, some intimidating like ass dude. Yeah, like, yeah. It was, like, I think the phones might be in general pop, but it wasn't on some, we isolating him because he's so scary. It was like, we have to isolate him partially because, I think because he those kid murders or that he's accused of doing, it wasn't very popular in the jail. And so it was like, we gotta keep him away from other motherfuckers, cause.
That's true. They say that's the rumor, the reputation.
At one point, like, they found three bodies, and they thought it was his kids, and they basically had to, like, he stopped talking to anyone coming out of the cell or whatever for, like, however many weeks, cause he was worried that, you know, they was gonna be like, we think you did it and kill him, you know? So, like, I don't think he was checking nobody for nothing, you know? But yeah, that's Shattered season one. That's an amazing podcast.
So I know the one thing I definitely don't like about the prison system is, I put commissary. Go ahead, commercial.
Listen, we gotta go to commercial real quick. Niggas only. We're talking about the prison system when we come back. Niggas only, talking all that shit.
Can't we all just get along?
At the Red House Furniture.
We can.
At the Red House.
I'm Richard, a.k.a. Big Head. I work at the Red House, and I'm black.
At the Red House.
I like pumping iron and pumping furniture into people's homes.
I'm Johnny, a.k.a. T-Engage. I work at the Red House, and I'm white. I like deer hunting, bass fishing, and extending credit to all people.
At the Red House.
I'm black, and I love the Red House.
I'm white, and I love the Red House.
I'm a black woman, and I love the Red House.
I am white, and the Red House is for me.
At the Red House.
Look at the sofa. It's perfect for a black person or a white person.
This mattress is perfect for a white person or a black person.
At the Red House.
He almost forgot to say it.
Black people and white people buy furniture.
And Hispanic people too.
And
all
people.
Okay, 12-gauge might be my favorite.
At the Red House. But yeah, we back. So what were you saying about your
so fuck
favorite
the
thing?
Prison system and the man. No, they all like, if you got money on your commissary, right, like to buy snacks and shit like that, like you legit could go buy you a $4 honey bun.
Mm-hmm.
And something could happen that somebody else caused you to get infractions because they did it to you. Everybody getting infractions, kind of like how the NBA get a text to everybody. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm walking away, yeah, I lose all my honey buns and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, no review, they just snatch everything. Anything I got is confiscated, and you got to start all over again.
Yeah,
and that shit too expensive.
They found them with like a they what on the shattered. They found like a shank or some no. So they take wires and they strip them from the outlet in the cell, and they stick them in the toilet, and it causes the water to heat up, and they use that to like cook food and shit. And so they cook food in the toilet. They found him hiding wires, and he got in trouble for that. And like, even shit like he hid the wires in the toilet roll by the toilet, and they found it. Like the shit, the game is wild, bro.
That's some good searching. Have you seen OG, the movie with Jeffrey Wright while he in prison?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Nah, it came out on HBO.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, shit. I guess I gotta.
It's really good.
So you did watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. All right, I gotta add that. Now, I'm thinking, what I watched this week? I watched something. Oh, I finished Deadly Class, which is dope.
I'm saving it. It looked good.
It's so good.
Because it come on like that off channel.
Sci-fi.
Yes.
It's so good. Hey, they sent me a little package. Like,
okay.
Because I tweeted about it, live tweeted it. They was like retweeting me and stuff. They was like, shoot us your address. I sent them the business address. And I got it yesterday. It gave me like a graphic novel of one of those school flags like you hang on your wall that say Deadly Class. And then like a pencil holder, like pencil case holder that got Deadly Class pencils and erasers and shit in it.
Okay. I plan on binge watching it. Like, this one of the things.
Definitely worth it. You'll love it.
It's that. It's so many shows I got to binge watch because it's something on Hulu. Not The Talented. But the damn, it's the other show about the people with superpowers. Yes.
Yeah, that's good too.
I gotta finish that. Like, it's so many.
I didn't mean to bring up shit that we not watching, but I hate when we do that. Like, it's like, I ain't watch this.
But the OG thing is really good with Jeffrey Wright. Like, I really, it's like, oh, did he go spend some time in prison? Mm-hmm. Like, does he, like, he, I really felt like he immersed himself. Mm-hmm. Into that character.
I mean, he's a great actor. So I can imagine.
So underrated. Like, right. I don't know why we don't appreciate him more.
And then, and also he's great on Twitter. I don't know if y'all follow him on Twitter. We follow each other. And,
I'm afraid.
What? Look, it's like when I saw that fan in Target, I think his name was Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
I love
it. And the whole time I was like, I hope you don't recognize me. You know what I mean? Like, I just kept my head down, looked at my phone, like, I hope this nigga don't bother me. But yeah, so, even like, he's a cool dude on Twitter too, man. Like, he actually, like, he's super woke. He hate Trump and he just stay on people's ass the whole time. I was like, he was doing this. Like, I might've watched, Westworld season 2 if I knew. I would've known you was woke like this, bro.
Now that's how Don Cheadle is on Twitter too.
Yeah.
I love me some Don on Twitter.
Yeah, he a beast too.
When he got time. Oh, he got time he for everybody.
Time. He make the time. His interview on Desus and Mero was funny as hell too.
On the Showtime one?
Yeah.
I gotta see it.
Yeah, he ended it with, man, I ain't gonna spoil it. But
I
he
think
says
knowing
funny
that
shit.
They on demand, if it caused me not to be like, oh, I ain't gotta watch it this week.
Well, you know what I realized was, the thing with Desus and Mero that, as a content creator, them going once a week on Showtime, it changes a lot of what the show is.
Yeah.
Because when they were doing it 4 nights a week, it's like they playing every video, they following everybody's Instagram, so it's like if Tekashi 6ix9ine say something, they gonna have a response for it the next day. They also took a lower caliber of guests. This is no offense to the guests they had, but the qualifications to be a guest when we doing 4 nights a week is a lot lower than when we doing one time a week, you know?
Oh, bro, I think I saw the one where they had the guy, the actor from Meet the Parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's because that's the first one I saw. I can't think his name now.
Ben Stiller?
Yeah, Ben Stiller. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, they getting the Bens of Hollywood now.
Well, they got Don Cheadle on there. They had, right. You know, they had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on the first episode.
But just for that being my first episode watching,
yeah,
I was like, oh, they getting Bens now? Okay.
Right. But I'm talking about just in general, though.
They made 2 Chainz do a performance?
When you do one show a week, you can do that. You know, more coordination, more you got a bigger platform with Showtime money.
Yep.
Showtime money. So you can be like, hey man, we only interviewing movie stars now. We only interviewing people we know. Like I listened to an interview they did on Keep It, and it was funny because Deez was like, I don't do research on none of the guests. He's like, they have producers that are like, you want this package on like what they do, a little blurb. He's like, no, we'll just figure it out when they get there. And so if he know who the person is, it's just because they that famous or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now he really don't have to do research because he gonna know who the people are as opposed to what do you do, you know what I'm saying? Because before it's like, we got anyone with a book that's a book author, they got a book coming out, we'll have you on the show, you know,
local rappers nobody's ever heard of,
right?
You from the BX, so you know, you come on the show,
right? And it's interesting too, because also as a content producer, being on the other side of the game, like, I didn't realize how much of a racket the book thing is. Like, we get so many books now that's just like, so-and-so is writing a book. They shoot us an email from their PR people. I don't know how we got on this list, by the way. I didn't ask or whatever. But
you review the books.
Just before, I'm reviewing the books because they send them to me. This is not chicken or egg.
From start,
they were the ones.
Because I thought at first you read, it was some book you was like, y'all, let's read this book just because it looked interesting.
No, oh, you thinking about the ratchet reading shit?
Yeah.
That's not just, I know we didn't get on nobody's list from that shit.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. It's like, but he reading books. It may be comedy, but he's reading the books.
Okay, if you say so, bro. I'm just saying, listen. We're talking about self-published Amazon books that we're reading to make fun of, the story. I think that's a little bit different than the list we own now is like DeRay McKesson's book, Feminista Jones book. What's her name? I want to get it right. Nista J. Mara's book. I just got Damon Young, Very Smart Brothers.
Okay.
I just got his book. It's not even out yet. It's good too.
I'm just saying, I could see you getting that list the same way that dude who was reading Omarosa's book and for jokes. And then now he like they want him to read shit. It's like, and I know Omarosa is different than, like you said, self-published. But it's the fact that it's like, oh, this nigga's reading books and people like it.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying. Maybe that's it, Justin. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just,
I just don't want you to downplay what you're doing.
No. I mean, well, what I was gonna say is, I realized the racket from the other end, which is these motherfuckers don't read these books. Like, they basically send you a book and a press release, and like, this is like some blurbs of famous people saying how good the book is. Mm-hmm. And then here is the talking points. Like, they send you the talking points. Like, ask them this question, ask them about this chapter, ask them about that. And especially when you getting all these like, read this book, you know, 3-4 times a month probably. Them niggas ain't got time to read that shit. So like, that's probably why Deez be like, I will catch up with you when you show up. Like, what is your book about? What do you talk about? Who are you? And while it's a big deal for the authors and shit to get in on those platforms, it's also just a fact of, we need the content 4 times a week. They probably done with that. Like, it's over for that shit. Like, if you was just put a book out, you're not getting on our show. Like, can you make a movie? Are you an Avenger?
Before, you probably could have hit Deezus or Mero in the DM
on Twitter, right? Show. Right.
Now it's like, you better talk to my agent. Cause I noticed they not on Twitter as much. Like, Deez is used to tweet all the time.
Yeah.
He slowed down on that. But it made me, like, if they only doing one show a week now, what else are they doing to, like, continue to grow, I guess, or stay popping?
For Deez and them?
Yeah. Cause before, you knew about them cause they, even though they was working 4 nights a week on Vice, they still was also on everything else. Like, you would see them all the time, was on radio, Twitter. Like, they was trying to guest appear on other people's stuff. Like, they really was out there working.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
To be seen.
Because to me, I mean, they had the podcast, Bodega Boys.
And still the podcast.
Yeah, they had the podcast, which I think they still do. And when they was doing Deezus and Meryl, I know the podcast, sometimes they would take breaks and shit. But I was gonna say, I think they just, most of that energy is the show now. Like, they doing skits, they still do the podcast now, but I mean, they doing skits.
That is true, they did add some skits in there.
They was doing
it already though, seemed like.
No, not like this. Like, they got a Green Book skit, like, they filmed that shit. They have writers now. Like a script, they act, they have a budget for hair pieces and costumes. Like, it's crazy, bro. Like, so that shit takes up more time. Like, doing the show before probably took up a lot less time. Even with it being 4 days a week, it's like, cause, look, dog, as somebody that has filmed a little TV before, the magic of TV is so bullshit. Cause, like, we filmed 4 or 5 episodes of an interview show in like 2 hours. Like, we did, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then we like, all right, y'all edit that together. Good luck. And that's it. That's the day. But with this shit, it sounds like it's 4 or 5 days to make this show that's only going to happen one time. That
30
week.
Minutes.
Right. So they probably before went from doing like 4 or 5 interviews in a week, like one day, like eight, let's say they stayed there for 8 hours and did all the recording they were going to do that day. Or they would, like, the interview wise, and then they probably record the looking at video segment at daily, you know, like, but how long can that really take? And then that's it for the day. Like, we out, let's go, you know. But this shit is like, you're not just doing the video now, we're doing on the scene. Like, we're gonna go out to a bodega and film us at the bodega.
We've been planning this skit months in advance.
Boom,
I got you, makes sense.
So yeah, it's probably just more work now, which sucks, but you got a better product and they paying you for your work now you getting paid. Like,
advice, you was hustling for them,
right?
Chicks.
Right. Like, you don't gotta do all that shit. I didn't know about them being on other people's podcasts though. That's new to me.
Now it do make me wonder, can they smoke on set? Because Advice, they can do what they want to do. I noticed they still had alcohol.
I 1,000% know that they smoke on that set. Don't ask me how I know, but I know.
Because Mero still, like, he looked high, but I was like, did he just do that before he showed up at work?
They high. And it's not a big secret. They get high on set.
Mero be like, I'm popping Zanny, whatever. I'm like, bro,
them niggas be looking so high. Like, it's crazy how high they be, man. Like, it's really like every week I be tuning in. Like, I can't believe they still able to do this. Like, I love it. It's beautiful, but goddamn, you high as fuck.
I know when we go to California, I plan on trying like an edible or something.
Nobody will smoke me out, bro. Everywhere I've been, nobody's offering me weed. That's why I'm like, am I famous? I don't think so.
Audrey has told me multiple times, you are getting high when you come out here. I'm like, we'll see. I don't know. Depends on where I'm working at. Now, this job, I told them, like, yes, your boy, when I go, can I get in trouble for being high?
Oh, you told them?
Yeah, because I, like, mistake. I checked, like, look, is this a problem? If I'm doing it, where is legal?
I don't trust it.
HR was like, I mean, technically, no. And this was before your boy at the gym even asked us about it. His drug test that he could double pass.
Coming right back, niggas on.
Oh girl, I know your secret.
You dipping on me.
Got that McNuggets loving.
You went to McDonald's.
It just ain't fair. Why can't you share your love with me?
Nice song.
Oh damn, why'd it end like that?
It's a half a commercial.
Yeah, that was terrible.
They do that.
Niggas only, sometimes the commercials don't finish, y'all. We go to the next.
They
commercial.
Pay all their money, so they only get half of the commercial.
James, Anaconda malt liquor.
Combination of the finest butters and hops. Only malt liquor that carries the seal of excellence from Uncle Sam himself.
This voice too deep. You gotta turn it up.
And when you pop the top, the panties drop.
Is that Anaconda malt liquor? The only malt liquor to be approved by the United States government?
That's right. Anaconda malt liquor.
Anaconda malt liquor.
many niggas did they interview to get the deepest baritone they could?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, that Deez DeMero, dog, it's a whole different product now, you know what I mean? Oh, also, I didn't watch the two-part I Was Raised by Monsters, Ayala. But I did start that Gospel Queen.
Leandria!
I got like 30 minutes into it. Man, she is a mess. Bruh.
Which part I found, I couldn't decide what I found the funniest. And Yonla having all the bottles of mimosas, I mean, not bottles, but bowls of mimosas in the background. She said,
you are putting this in your body every day, daily. Yeah. She was like, I still function. I don't see what the problem is.
She was like, a drink before I pick up my kids. Of course. Like, who is it doing that? And Yonla?
No, them bowls, I said, damn, that is a lot. You know what I mean? Like, good grief. Every day, but I still function. I get up and go to work. I get up from 9 to 11. I said, you got kids. You should be earlier than that. Sound like it should be a little earlier. School don't start at 9. But okay. So I get up at 9 to 11, and I'm fine. I'm fine. And then they showed them videos on Instagram. I said, you are not fine. She wasn't wrong, though.
Look, seeing the videos let you know the internet is for motherfucking ever. Because a PR person had been deleted them videos.
Mm-hmm.
Or whoever, friend, BFF. I don't know what his title is.
It was like the only place, she said, church, the only place you can go where you can get robbed and nobody call the police.
Bitch, you talking to your audience right now. You are a gospel singer. You're not an R&B singer?
Right.
Like, you not switching back and forth like Al Green?
Mm-hmm.
This is you disrespecting your fans right now. What else they playing your music? What you doing, boo boo? I wanted Ayala to call her out on it. Why Ayala go out there quoting scripture to her though?
I didn't get to that part yet. Okay. I stopped at right when she made her talk to the picture of herself. She said, I can't minister to myself. And she said, exactly. Mm-hmm. I said, damn, Ayala. She said, sit over there. Oh, I like what she said. She was like, you know, my brother died. He got hit by a car. She said, I got it. It got up and ran off. I was like, what are you doing? She came back and said, church is bullshit. Fuck God or something like that. She said, you can't do this. Flipped it over to gospel singer. And this. We're going to decide if you want to do this or not. God, she the best.
You've been missing years of this.
I know, man. But I'm getting the peak experience, though. I didn't have to go through all the growing pains with the rest of y'all folks where you get aggravated and mad every week. Like, she clearly got on-site staff that's helping her now. Like, she's not just saying offensive shit left and right like she used to.
But I love the offensive shit.
I know you did. You can't help yourself. But for me, people with empathy and standards, it bothers me to see somebody like in genuine pain and somebody else is fucking their life up.
That's how she had me. She had me at hello.
Yeah, I know you can't help it. But I can. So we don't support
that. Which one of the management/friends did you see?
I saw the man management so far, the one that was like, we used to be friends, and her job, when I got the job, she was already under our management thing, and Ayala was low-key calling him out like, yeah, but if you was her real friend, you'll be like, fuck this management shit, you need to stop.
Okay, I ain't gonna ruin the end part of what they conversation in.
Yeah, I can see something bad coming though. Like, he think it's gonna go one way.
She got him. Yeah. Bro, she got him feeling comfortable in the chair right now.
Yeah, I saw it. I said, oh, he got two. Cause he relaxed.
His posture changed, right? Right. Did you see the posture change?
He leaned back like, yeah, I mean, I'm a friend and you know, I mean, I'm like, mm-mm. You out here, you the Romans in the church over here. You out here making this money. You the pharaohs out this bitch.
She's setting them up, boy. She's
making this money off the pain.
I'm not getting out watching torture of the family.
Yeah.
But at the end, when she called their mama a crackhead, like, it was...
It's not worth it to me.
It was at the...
2 hours for that? For one joke?
Like, I was like, Ayala, that's... Come on, bro. I was into this one being supportive. Just you good clinical session here. And then you called their mama a crackhead for no reason and told them, come hug.
Yeah, two hours for one joke is not enough for me. That's too much investment. And then also, like, the her rough style, like you can still see it coming through, like the old Ayala time. Like you could tell they edit better now. Like, like if she say shit and I'll be like, yeah, they definitely took a break. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like they definitely was like, oh, time out. Ayala, can we talk to you real quick? You can't call this woman a whore to her face. Okay, Ayala.
She can't help it.
Like Ayala, everyone needs a break.
This
everyone
is
calm
my
down.
Ministry.
I know.
Beloved. Okay.
But I guarantee compared to the first seasons, I can feel the editing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like she'll ask a question. And then you could tell, like, they didn't actually put the direct answer the person gave to that question, but to later on in the questioning line. Like, she'll be like, do you think you have an alcohol problem? And then she'll be like, well, I mean, it's just a drink every day or every couple of days, you know, every once in a while. And she'll be like, no, that's not what I asked you. Do you think you have a problem? Because I know a lot of people that don't think they have a problem until they're sitting there in an AA meeting and they have to get up and they say, my name is Leandria, whatever name was. I am a alcoholic. And then they cut back to the woman and she clearly was not answering that question. Like she'll be like, well, I have drank a lot of alcohol. Yes. And I'm like, yeah, that wasn't what she's, that wasn't Ayala said that. And then she said that. That was Ayala said that. And then something happened. And then I think they said, let's take a break. You can't be calling
her. It was an hour of Ayala going back and forth.
Right. Beloved, admit it. You're a whore who drinks alcohol. Like, and then it was like, take a break. Time out. Cut that out.
So they didn't take a break on, well, they took a break, but they showed the break part with the family.
Okay.
When this boy had, he went into one of his seizures or blackouts, in that other episode. Like they legit kept the cameras rolling and showed the other professional medics and other people come through.
Yeah, I knew they had staff, bro. I'm sure, cause like it's just like I don't know what my guess is. Somebody got hip to like we ain't trying to get sued. Like we playing with people's lives, and that's why I have a solid Jesse Raphael. She kept fucking with people.
Oprah actually watched one of the episodes.
Yeah,
that's all. Oprah was like, "Wait, she doing what?"
Right? She like, "We can't have even Dr. Phil don't do this.
Get
we
her,
gotta stop this.
Get her staff. Get
right." All right, niggas only. We're coming right back for the commercial break, getting some of y'all feedback from last week. Wait, what? This ain't even the real commercial. So here, niggas only. We have technical difficulties. Hold on. Let me see if I can find the actual commercial that I was trying to click on. Because this is, was terrible.
I'm going to read to them a poem then that was I read the other day, and it struck me right here in the heart.
I don't think we need you to do that.
Exciting
things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wraps?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh resin wrapped up in a tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in a...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it at Burger King.
Come and get it, niggers.
I'm definitely eating chicken today, okay?
Niggers only. The only TV show, the only podcast sponsored by three chicken sponsors in the same 2 hours, y'all. Let's get into y'all's feedback from last week. Guilt Bricks was the episode. Karen was here. CP88 says, what's good, Rod, Karen, and Justin? I recently joined the gym with the court, and I've been thinking about getting into some pickup games just to run around and get some skills. Never played organized ball, but I'm tall and athletic. Can't dribble, but I get some boards. What's proper etiquette for pickup basketball? I'm not trying to get clown. Well, okay, I can answer this.
Can I give him the first best advice?
Okay, you go ahead.
He's tall and athletic. During shoot around, just do a few dunks. Like one or two, like every 10 minutes to let them see, like, oh, he can dunk it, right?
That's if you can dunk, by the way. You say tall, athletic. If you coordinated to dunk, then do that. But if you're not coordinated to dunk, don't be out there missing dunks or looking ugly, because that's even worse than not dunking.
Yeah, when you throw out the caveat of tall, athletic, that's a precursor for you should be able to dunk then.
You say so. Alright, so for me, this
tall,
all, six, this
five,
all,
6'5" and up, right, tall?
Okay. Here's my advice on, my universal advice. If you don't want to get clowned for starting out trying to play basketball and you know you're not that good. go to the court and watch them, and make sure you don't see no black people. If it's not a lot of black people, then go ahead and play. If it's a lot of black people, don't take your sorry ass out there thinking you're not gonna get clowned. You gonna get clowned because you're gonna make mistakes. Like, that's basketball. You can't shoot, you can't dribble, you can't rebound and block shots. Like, it's just, you gonna be big man, they gonna be telling you get in the paint.
But our white people will clown him.
Nah, they don't do it when we not around. That, like, we clown, so we dilute the pool with our clowning, and we make everybody clown. But I've watched white people play when there's no niggas around. It's totally different. It's totally different.
They encourage you.
Yeah.
Treat them like they treat their kids or the.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's just totally different. Like, it's like when you watch the YMCA basketball leagues with the kids and you be like, these kids sorry as hell and nobody mad. Like, coach not mad, kids not mad, parents not mad.
Did I tell you about Jeremy coaching?
Mm-mm.
I'll tell you about that. We finished his email.
What
you want me to tell
you? That was the end of that one. We got two more, but go ahead.
So Jeremy been coaching juniors, you know, YMCA basketball league. He all coached, right, you know, the football. He had coached the soccer, but the basketball was different. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's when his people came out. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you big lip Negroes coming out there with your saggy pants, mad because your children not getting better at, mm-hmm, basketball. Jeremy was like, I mean, they kids don't listen. What am I supposed to do?
Jeremy ain't got no time for that.
They come out there, it was like, they kids don't listen. They don't run the plays. We just out here having fun, right?
Mm.
They parents legit be mad. He say he can hear them in the stands talking shit. I'm like, when you gonna cuss one of them out there? Like, that's the next step. Or let their kids sit on the bench the whole time. Mm. Like, since your daddy don't know how to act, come sit on the sideline. We get one of these kids in here to parent know how to act, but he legit been having to keep his composure while people in the stands.
People get crazy about their kids. I did the score one time at the YMCA because they didn't have a scorekeeper. And you got to keep track of fouls, the clock, and the score.
It's work, dog. It's a lot.
Yeah, and I'm making $7.50 an hour. I'm not supposed to be doing this shit. And I didn't go to scorekeeping school. And, bro, I made like two mistakes. Them motherfucking parents was on my ass. Hey, it is 62 to 63. Oh, also the clock not like... I could put 63 in and just hit enter. Like, it's like you gotta hit stop plus 2 points, plus enter score. Enter.
It make that shit
confirm.
Super complicated.
Right. I'm like, why is this shit so hard? Why can't I just hit plus one? And don't fuck up and be like, oh no, I actually put 3 points when it should have been two. I gotta stop the clock and put the whole score back in through the special means and whatever. I'm like, yo.
There should be an app for this. I can connect through Wi-Fi and.
Bruh. A keyboard and a laptop. I can type in the score. 64. There you go. Yep. Why is it so hard? I was so mad, bro. How many fouls does number 5 have? I don't fucking know. Who cares?
Where your assistant at?
That kid still eats his boogers. Who gives a fuck? Let him play as long as he wants. Y'all gotta leave in an hour?
Bro, they mad at Jeremy that their kid's not getting better. I'm like, but they supposed to be practicing with him at home. That's
right.
Like you said, these 6 and 7 year olds, they not, this not a private one-on-one, you know, gym time. This is, you show up to the game to be good at the game already.
Right. It's just ridiculous, man.
I was like, man, I'm glad I hadn't been to the games yet. Cause I don't know that I could deal with you yelling at my little brother,
mm-hmm,
about the fucking job he need to be doing with your whack ass kid.
You know what I'm saying? You definitely not the type.
Yeah, I'm not gonna sit there and hold my tongue on that. Yeah. Like, Jeremy got all the pages in the world.
Yeah.
That's why I said I don't know how he hasn't yet, cause who the fuck you talking to?
Like, I don't wanna coach nobody's kids. I don't trust anybody that wants to hang out with other people's kids, but, I'm definitely the type that could do the job. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna just immediately get defensive with you walking up on me. I'm gonna give you a second to calm down and figure it out. You know what I'm saying? You need that because, like, them parents be crazy about their kids, man. And it's easy to snap. Like, hey man, you see I'm out here trying, there's 9 fucking kids on this team and I'm trying to, and now I'm cussing you out in front of some kids.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, somebody got to think about the kids.
I did coach Jeremy and them team once when, mm-hmm, they was kids. And I knew then, oh, this not for me.
Right.
Right. I don't got the patience for it. Y'all don't listen. Just right. Do what y'all want. Just go ahead. Y'all not trying to win. I thought y'all was trying to win. Y'all talked all that shit in practice. Mm-hmm. I thought y'all was trying to win. Clearly y'all not.
Let's get to the next one. Jamil Scorpio writes in, what's up, Rod and Daniel Caesar? Oh, Daniel Caesar. Why? But wanted
what
to
did Daniel Caesar do?
Daniel Caesar came out and talked real bad about black people because he's friends with that white girl, Yes Jules.
Oh, the Cash Me Outside girl?
Nah, Yes Jules is another white girl with a big ass that does promotion work for hip hop acts. And she also has a history of like just overstepping her bounds with black people. She had a shirt that said, a shirt that said something like, niggas be lying. And she was like, can I wear this shirt to the festival tomorrow? Ha ha ha, on Twitter. And she got roasted because people was like, what's wrong with you? And then she done wrote shit about black women be hating me and they see me getting black men and all this type of shit. So she got a bad history. So everything she do kind of causes an uproar within Twitter. And so I guess Daniel Caesar is either friends with her or knows her or something. So he went on, Instagram and talk shit about black people being too sensitive. They think they could cancel everybody. Well, cancel me then, make me broke motherfucker and all this shit. And then DeRay McKesson actually hit him up and called him and then went on Twitter, was like, I talked to Daniel, he's learning, he's growing, da da da. Then this nigga Daniel went back on Twitter, was like, nah, fuck that shit, you niggas, I ain't learned nothing. I ain't learning a goddamn thing. I was like, this is why I don't help people, because now you got DeRay out here looking stupid trying to help, and yeah. I would have just let you drive on your own. Like, hey, well
was they friends before? Is that why he did it?
I never know. Well, you never know who friends on this internet shit is wild, bro. You don't know who friends and who doing shit for pop, you know, like just the branding. I don't have a reason to suspect they not friends. If he felt, maybe he just felt I have his number in my pocket, and if I wish somebody would reach out to me whenever I'm going through things, and whatever happened, it did not work out well. So that's why he said Daniel Caesar. I'm just surprised, not surprised, but so many niggas is willing to just like sacrifice their cultural capital for this girl. I don't get it. Like, I know she white with a fat ass, but like, it's so many white women that got fat asses that won't have you out here looking stupid. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Not even that girl.
Nah, she's just a white girl with a fat ass.
Like, I can see caping for your woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in love. This is my woman.
I don't get it, man. Like, and I guess it's just not for me to get. It is people out there that just don't fuck with her. And they also let people know. I didn't know, but I guess Ebro is one of those people. I was just a five star. They brought up him. Joe Budden is one of those people. Although that could be about, that's really more about their personal beef. That's not really about him thinking she. Like, he didn't start that culture vulture shit until after she couldn't get him. He wanted to return some jeans or some shit, mm-hmm. and she wouldn't vouch for him. So, like, I'm like, yeah, that's not necessarily the same as, you know, trying to keep her out the game on some just the right thing to do.
Why did Joe Budden need somebody to vouch for him?
Psh, don't get me started on that. So, all that shit to say, Daniel Caesar decided that was what he wanted, to basically shit on all black people behind that, and I still don't get. I just don't get the appeal of that woman like that. Maybe I gotta be in the circles of music that understand, like, maybe she's that powerful or that friendly. I don't know.
If you're a big booty white woman, write into the show and try to convince Rod why he should.
No, don't do that.
Don't.
Nah. Then I'm gonna be out here like Daniel Caesar talking about you blacks and ruining my whole life.
You think that's what got Tobias?
I'm scared of big booty white women, man. If they got that kind of power over niggas and make them ruin their careers, I don't want them around me. Like, what? That's a thing? That's a side effect? No, thank you. Just wanted to say thank you for Crime Time Season 2 suggesting. I'm only 5 episodes in. I came in ready for the Kilpatrick stuff, but I was not ready for all that shit about Detroit. Stress Unit. Yes, Stress. That was the name of them. And their Liam Neeson policing approach. Bruh, they was blowing niggas away. A lot. Always good to hear a pregame, and even greater with Queen Karen is with y'all. Peace. Thank you.
And TPS is right. Karen did update insurance policy.
Mm-hmm. She did update insurance policy.
But I know who to go after. I could never do that to Karen. I'm sorry. I would just be like, Karen, enjoy your life. He was holding you back. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the money. Like, wow. I don't.
You don't do it because niggas it's trend or fashionable. You do it because you love it. There's beauty in its simplicity.
When it's time to refuel, make the same choice. Watermelon provides hydration, vitamins, and, well, it's delicious. It's surprising how the simplest things can be so good for you.
Niggas Only, we back, ready to do the last comment from last week. Fireworks says, rise and grind. We are grinding. We have risen. Thank God it's Friday. Happy spring. I listened to the Walking Dead recap with Justin. I want to say, Audrey's episode was like the Warriors blowing out the Knicks by 40. That's all I'm saying. While Justin's recap was like that Jimmy Butler game winning shot versus Boston where he stared at the rim for 30 minutes. But nah, Justin did a good job. Quick question about the Walking Dead. How much longer y'all think Negan gonna be the John Gotti or the Z-Pac stay in jail? I think if the last two episodes they have a massacre of people, I feel like they gotta let Negan out and tell him to go kill some people.
Oh, that what's the little white girl name?
Judith
gonna get him out.
Yep.
And then is she still gonna be your fave?
Judith gonna get him out the legal way too. She gonna argue the adults into doing it. They gonna be like, we can't let him out. She gonna be like, we let you out. And they gonna be like, fuck, go let him out.
Yep. Like, is Judith gonna be the one to get him out? And if y'all hate Negan like y'all say y'all did just a year ago, I mean, I don't know what he's done in your hearts to change your mind, but y'all gotta be mad at Judith, right?
Y'all cool. Y'all mad at Henry, but cool with Judith. I don't get it.
Just finish. Now, keep in mind, I don't fuck with Judith, so.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm just saying, but you keep it consistent.
I want y'all to come on over to my side. You know what I'm saying?
I just like the consistency. I don't care about what side you on. It's just more like, if Judith and Henry talk the same shit, I don't see how one of them gets a pass and the other one doesn't. Like, she a little white girl. It's cool.
She cuter. I will say she's cuter.
Right.
Henry gotta be cute. He up in handsome stage now.
He
out here trying to fuck. You know what I'm saying?
I bet if he was in a Japanese boy band, motherfuckers would be like cool with him. Just finished Russian Doll and it was pretty good. Oh, I saw Russian Doll. It was so good. But the star, who also is from Orange is the New Black, her character reminded me of her in Orange minus the jail jumpsuit. Well, I don't watch Orange is the New Black, so it was dope for me. All new. But it's 8 episodes, 25 minutes each, so it's a quick watch. I also checked out Turn Up Charlie, which is a British show that stars and created by Idris Elba. Another quick watch. Notice she didn't say it was good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen some of Idris's British shows. Mm-hmm. Even Turk turned it. Turk will watch anything Idris.
I heard Luther was great. That's the one y'all didn't like.
Turk didn't like it.
Damn. Well, that's terrible.
Did you see it? You say you heard it was great.
I just heard. I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I heard it was great from a bunch of people. I just assumed it was great.
Yeah, Turk didn't like it.
See, okay.
Like, 4 or 5 episodes in, Turk was like, yeah, I'm good. Mm. I'm good.
Love the show as always. I'm caught up with the free shows, too, after my vacation. And Justin, it was nice in Trinidad. Shit, the weather was heaven compared to NYC, which is hell. Enjoy the weekend. Fireworks.
Trinidad, okay.
Trinidad James. That's dope.
So fireworks, give me a good spot in NC and NYC to like a good restaurant. Cause you know, I just made a little BBQs in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a hot fire, you know, spot you like to go to and they got some like real good food, but it's also not going to break the bank. As NYC is known to do. Also too, I was looking at your body butt over there. Because I had put mine on again. And I was like, you know, I really do like the body butter feel over the regular lotion. It has like a different feel. Maybe it's just mentally because of how I look at it in the container. Do you recognize the difference when you use it?
Body butter and lotion?
Versus like the lotion that maybe the same exact thing, just the body butter.
I feel like body butter feels thicker to me.
I like it. I like it better on my skin.
I guess it depends because, you know, I have a few pumpkin spice lotions and body butters and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think I like this type of body butter more than this type of body butter, the real thick kind.
Okay. See, I like that one better.
You like this one better?
I think I like that one better. I can tell the difference.
Yeah, I definitely can tell the difference. But I don't know.
But I wasn't sure if it was in my head, like, oh, I'm because I like it better, I'm making myself think it's mm-hmm. different, like, oh, this is better just because I just like that fragrance better, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or if it really was a difference. You know how sometimes you can convince yourself of something just because you automatically like it better.
Right. I don't know. I guess, I think, I mean, I definitely can tell the difference, but I don't feel like one is better than the other.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, I guess that probably wasn't much help, but. Sorry, I know you probably had that segment planned out to go somewhere.
I didn't. When I saw it, it made me think about it this morning. Like, oh, that's what I put on today, and I liked it better.
That was very random. All right, we'll be right back. Oh, Niggas Only. We get into some news on Niggas Only. Talking about news.
On the bend, and it looks as though Major Taylor is making a go for it. He's working hard, coming up on Burns. He's really stepping on it. Taylor pushing Burns, saving. There's little going down. The world champion.
By 1901, Major Taylor raced all over the world in search of a true writer. He never found one. What's your wild rabbit? Hennessy. Never stop, never settle.
Niggas Only, brought to you by Hennessy, and we are back with some news. We got a couple articles to get into. Ray J's tech company, Raycon, hits $10 million in sales in less than a year.
Boy, ever since he got rid of the APT, Princess Love just leveled his game up, didn't she?
I was going to say ever since he copyrighted Princess's name. I feel like he really stepped his game up. But good for him.
Good for her, too. Because she didn't sign that prenup, right?
Nope, she didn't.
Good for her.
Yep, because it's still half hers, no matter what. So, but, yeah, good for him, man. $10 million, who would have thought? That boy make money.
I never would have thought Brandy's little brother, whatever.
38-year-old singer and loving hip-hop Hollywood star. Turned to the tech space back in 2017, launching Raytronics. They initially sold scooters and smartwatches primarily. They since expanded to earbuds.
I see you, Ray J. I wonder which earbuds he got.
How come they never talk about him being a self-made millionaire?
You get distracted with some of the other things he be doing.
Oh, okay.
and I'm sure it's all stemmed from when he was like kicking out police car windows, stuff like that. They like, yo.
Yeah, he got interviewed about it. Too, in a magazine called Grit. I'm surprised it wasn't called Grits, but he got interviewed in a magazine and he said it feels amazing. We're so proud of how far we come in such a short amount of time. I knew that company would do well because I believe so much in the products, but I have to say that the success has been overwhelming so far. We have a great team assembled and we get things done. Our customers are happy, so we're happy. That's so generic. That could be about anything.
Now, is his mama still the manager or did he go somewhere else?
Probably his mama still the manager.
Good for her, because she don't get enough credit. Like, you know, she took them two little nigglets out the hood. One of them just struggle braids that never changed. And look at them now, right? Like, they can get away with murder.
Someone need to make a movie about her. Let Will Smith play her. You know?
I'd rather give all the roles to either Letty Mae Daniels or Yvette Nicole Brown. Either one of them.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
Either one of them. They my faves.
Local Charlotte news. It's about privilege. Mecklenburg sheriff riding tickets in a wealthy area causes backlash. How y'all like it, white folks?
Yo, I wish you had the audio of before he actually was running for office and he was like, and this is what the fuck I'm doing when I get to be sheriff. It's like I'm canceling some of these other programs and it's going to be different.
Residents in Cornelius. Oh, he went out to Cornelius, dog. That's where the white folks move when they got a little money. They don't want to live in Charlotte. They want their kids to go to the good white schools. They were surprised last month on a Sunday afternoon to see a dozen Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office deputies writing tickets on Jetton Road. The speed limit on Jetton, which leads to wealthy lakeside neighborhoods like Peninsula, where homes routinely fetch more than $1 million, is 35 miles per hour. In 2 hours, deputies ticketed 21 drivers going more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Woo, pay the fine. They got the money. Pay the fine. What right. You mad about?
You ain't got the fine? They're like, well, I never. They are stopping us like a bunch of niggers.
Yo, I bet that process is so humiliating for them. And I hope the officer still is coming to the car door in the window with his hand on the gun.
Just in case.
You know what I mean? Like, I still want to get the full experience now. You right. Can't just give him part of the experience. You got to give him the whole thing.
Now, sir, license and registration slowly.
Why did I pull you over? License and registration. Right. Ma'am.
Right. Listen, boy, don't make me get you out the car. Why, I
oh, what you doing with your hands? What you doing with your hands?
Sir, please. All right, I'm feeling a little trigger happy. feeling like I'm in danger.
Yo, and I know they didn't immediately put the window down, and they had to tap on the window. Mm-hmm. I hope they used a little flashlight to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as they want to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know your headlight is out? Because it's about to be out. You don't act right. But yeah, man, that's crazy. I wonder how many white people be driving dirty and shit. You know, black people, man, I'm scared to drive dirty. Like my license is tags, all my shit straight, the time.
If you've never had your registration out for at least a good month, I don't know that I could really trust you as a black person.
Mm-hmm.
At least once in your life, you know what I'm saying?
Bruh, but see, the thing for me is, like, it's always out of, like, the second I had enough money to make sure that was never a problem, I said it's never going to be a problem for me again.
But did you have it happen, is what I'm saying?
Yeah, when I was younger.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm right, I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying, like, that's such a bad measurement. It's sad. Just sad, man. You know what I mean? It's sad because that shit really is playing with your life. And sometimes it takes getting a little older to realize that it really was playing with your life.
It wasn't worth it.
Nah, it never was worth, like, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to wait 3 months. And then, like, every day of them 3 months, they could have just decided to end your motherfucking life. It wouldn't have been nothing nobody could say about
it. It's over a $30 registration.
Right.
A $30 inspection.
The worst is when you have it and you don't do it. That's some young nigga shit.
So for me, it was always the car just not going past this inspection. Mm-hmm. And I've had that. Like the car. And you know, so it's this thing too I did not know about at the time because, you know, they wasn't the best informant. But if you get the car and it's not passing for whatever reason and you attempt to get it fixed and it still don't pass, you can get a waiver.
Yeah.
And don't have to worry about, like, not having the official registration. They'll give you a waiver for a year.
A lot of people don't know that.
And that's it. Like, a lot of people just be like, well, shit, I got it fixed. It still ain't passed.
We welcome the great citizens of Cornelius to welcome our returning citizens for jobs. And we'll come back to say we present these men and women to you. So if you're truly concerned about your county and your city and your town roads, let's work together and not stage this again, please. I think this is a stage event. I must be honest with you because it was a welcome. They came last time, but you asked me to come back again. And let me make sure you do not have the ability to make me mad because I have to serve each and every one of you no matter what. And I took that oath, and I'm proud of that oath, and I'm proud of my men and women. If we
he came ready.
We have to come back again. We will announce it again. But if they speed, we will continue to write the tickets. We are a law enforcement agency. I will protect each and every one of you as long as I have this job. You have to understand that. You can ask me all the questions, but what if I ask you the questions? How would that go? Is it
really? How would that go?
The system is on trial.
This? Is it really about this? Is it really about this? Or is it about privilege? Let's ask ourselves, is it about privilege? Let's think about it. We all danced around it already. It's about privilege. It's about privilege. It's an African-American sheriff making differences in this city and county. I wasn't welcomed here. I was brought here. So you can ask me questions tonight. But I'm still not mad. You know why? Because I have to serve each and every one of you. And I welcome you. each and one of you down to 700 East 4th Street, but we can have these conversations so I can better educate each and every one of you so we won't have these conversations, so we can have these things. But we have to look at it as this. If it was another road, would I get that many questions? Does anybody know how many murders in your county? It's 27 murders.
Ooh.
Are we concerned about that?
What about it?
Are we concerned about domestic violence? Have you asked my officer why are we serving papers on that road? No. We haven't asked that. Are we concerned about that? We're concerned about the number of speeders, aren't we? On a certain road, in a certain side of the city. What message are we really sending? What message have you sent your sheriff? Your sheriff. Because I'm still elected by the citizens of Mecklenburg County. Like it or not, I have to serve you for a while. Thank you.
This bitch is shaking the table.
Woo!
This bitch a spicy bitch.
He came up there and said, let's talk about it.
Woo.
Listen, y'all want to talk, I want to talk too.
Sassy. Woo, he was sassy.
He said, we should all get to talking. I would like to talk as well.
How many murders y'all got up here?
Y'all call me up here for this bullshit?
Y'all say you're a little town? How many murders y'all got? 27.
Right? Y'all out here speeding all over the damn place.
How about this domestic violence y'all got going on up here? Some of y'all beating on each other. I got the serve papers. You want to talk about that?
Anybody want to? I got the time. I done put on my good suit.
Y'all brought me up here for this. Let's talk then.
Right.
Or come to my house. You want to come to the jail? Yo, he legit gave the address of the
Gary
courthouse.
McFadden said, come to the courthouse and see me. Bro, I love how he said protect these white people, but he said like a threat. He said, no, my job is to protect you. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to protect
y'all. I'm going to be up here all the time.
I'm going to be up here protecting and serving y'all motherfuckers, whether you like it or not.
He basically said, since you want me up here, I'm here. And I'm going to keep coming up here now.
He said, I wasn't invited here. I was brought here. Okay? Y'all made me come down. Y'all made me put on my good suit.
Hey,
to come down here and tell you white people to calm the fuck down.
I guarantee you each one of them officers got a mandate. Next time we come up here, show up with less than 20 tickets if you want to.
He said, right. He said, because.
Now that's just
shaking the table.
So because I did my job, it's going to be problems. Because I did my job. Last time I checked, this is my part of my job. But if I was in another part of town. If I was over there on the west side,
right?
I feel like I wouldn't have got called to come down to no meeting. Right? We supposed to be taxing the poor with the police, like Ferguson.
Cause he's saying, think of the audacity that one of you people
mm-hmm.
call somebody that knows somebody else that maybe knows somebody that worked with me.
Mm-hmm.
And requested that I come down and speak with y'all on your time.
Mm-hmm.
Not my time, but your time.
Right.
Baby, I'm gonna keep coming out since you invited me. I'm welcome.
Right. Oh, y'all man. Said this. Y'all the ones that wanted this to happen. I didn't set this meeting. Don't, y'all set the meeting.
Don't speed.
Right. Slow down.
Who are you finna try? I bet it ain't me. Ooh, bitch, it ain't me. Cats. Who are you finna?
Cause this is the same community that will be in all the news articles talking about, I mean, they did have marijuana in the system when the cops shot them. I mean, they did have this, right? It's all of a sudden, mm-hmm. follow the rules, follow the law. But when they are upheld to that same standard, what
you,
y'all doing?
You look 50 and you're 24.
He came down there ready to talk that shit.
He said, your town really ain't that cute.
Right.
It's kind of dusty.
Yeah, your hands aren't even.
You need to be dealing with this cold ass shit that your former governor thought had y'all back. But really, y'all got these cancer issues going on down here.
I mean, your looks ain't going to get you paid. So, shit. Like, you know, what y'all going to do about that?
They the reason we got this goddamn toll coming on I-77 and it ain't been fixed in over 10 years that they begged and begged for. And then when they finally got it, they was like, oh, wait, we don't want to pay for that. Y'all mean y'all going to charge us? I thought it was coming out of other people's money.
So, bro, that was so beautiful. Like, I was like, look at him serving court on these motherfuckers, dog.
Like,
look. That's right, niggas only, man. We're going to commercial real quick. We'll come right back. Wait, is this just, are they never gonna talk? Hold on. I don't think they talk on this commercial.
But Gary McFadden is a motherfucking legend here already, because he was like, look, we not cooperating with ICE.
Mm-hmm.
If we not helping the police arrest people in our courthouse or in our jail. Like, no, that's not, ICE ain't, do y'all job. Do your own investigative work and find out who's here and who's not supposed to be here.
Niggas only. Let's go back to the
commercial. Oh my gosh, it's so big. I've seen bigger.
Oh, really? For $1.99?
It's iced tea.
You get just a really tight close up of that?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we got it.
Okay, this feels like a lot of outtakes and not the actual commercial. What is happening here? So I get for trying to go to white people commercials. All right, we'll just. No,
but Gary McFadden is a legend out here. He doing what we wanted Jennifer Roberts to do, and she wouldn't. And when she was our former mayor,
I mean, he is black, so
she be at all the black spots. Unlike Kwame, she still ride around in a little.
Niggas only going to commercial for real.
You get 6 wings, a side, and a biscuit.
Ooh, love,
that means it's good.
Well, Cajun Smokehouse has inspired me.
Is this hickory and pecan smoke? I thought it was pecan. Pecan. Pecan.
Either way, it's delicious.
Couldn't have done it better ourselves.
Everything okay back there?
Mmm, real good.
Hurry in for my new $5 Smokehouse boneless wings. Order your Cajun turkey today.
Love that chicken and Popeyes. Niggas only. All right, that should be everything for the pregame. We can go ahead and get into balls deep, unless you have anything else to bring up, Justin.
Just one thing, that other guy that wrote in was a CB, you said?
Let's say that.
Other thing is, go shoot around in the gym. I see Jackie be posting videos of him practicing, getting that work done in the gym. Not just working out, but shooting ball, getting ready. So at least spend one day of shooting around. Don't just show up.
That's a good point. Go shoot around and work on yourself, okay? Don't just stop it like, I lifted some weights today. And you don't have to go in there and just play ball. You can't go in there and practice and, you know, kind of do some moves and stuff like that on your own. Shoot over some chairs, as we always see people doing. Apparently that's supposed to make you good at basketball.
Yeah, we should start scamming people, kids, and doing basketball clinics, because we saw Chance over there Saturday.
I think them his kids, though. They just white.
It was a Hispanic kid that came through, and he was over there apparently.
Nah, that's what he was there with, the black dude. It's a black dude that's his coach, that's like, that worked with him. I seen him last week.
But they the same, like, they doing the same thing.
Okay. I'm just saying, it's not, them kids are like Chance's kids. Like, I don't know if she had those kids before he met that girl or what, but them like his kids. It's always the same couple kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that other kid, Jimmy was over there joking him. Jimmy at the end, Jimmy was like, look, man, look, I know you paid for that coaching over there, but let me show you some things.
Because
he not teaching you what you need to be learning.
That kid was all right, though. I don't know, man. People be hard on kids. Kid was all right to me.
The kid was like 17.
No way. 16.
Yeah, because Jimmy asked him.
Well, it's not going to happen for him. That's fine. He's 17. Basketball not the end
he's
of the
still
world.
Still paying for independent coaching like that, though.
So, people pay for all kinds of shit they're not going to use. It's all good. It's a lesson in life. All right, we'll be back. Let's wrap this up.